Hello, and welcome to another edition of the TeachNet podcast. My name is Clifford Brown, and with me in the studio today, we have Kevin Jennings from the National Digital Research Centre, John Hurley from TeachNet, and we will be joined on the phone by Mags Amond, and she is with the Second Level Support Service. And the topic for our show today is BET, the BET Show. This has nothing to do with gambling, it's spelled B-E-T-T. And I'm going to start by asking John, what is the BET Show, where is it, and what's it all about?
Okay, Cliff. Well, the BET Show is the British Education Technology Trade Show. Takes place every year in January in the Kensington Olympia in London. This year is the 25th anniversary of the show, and it's turned out to be the largest education technology show in the world, not just Europe, but in the world. And basically, you have a showcase of all of the companies that are involved in education technology in the UK. So all of the computer suppliers, software suppliers, special needs and so on. And you know, when you walk into the Kensington Olympia where it's on, you're just bamboozled by the scale of the industry over there.
Yes, it is a very large venue, and it does take approximately 2 days, really, if you want to see everything that's there. Kevin, could I ask you, what brought you to the BET Show and what's your interest in it?
Well, as you know, in common with many of the people associated with TeachNet and sort of the network of people involved in education technology here, I've been working in the space for the last 8 or 9 years. As an academic, as someone who's been a teacher for many years, I've had a strong interest in education technology. My current role in the NDRC is that we work to develop commercially oriented digital media projects that will do some good somewhere, or you know, yield a startup business or have a cultural impact. And I'm involved in a number of education technology projects in the NDRC. So I guess I had two reasons to go to BET. One was personal and professional interest as an education technologist, and the other was on behalf of the NDRC to try to be up to speed on where the education technology industry is and is going in the future, to give us a perspective in terms of projects that we might like to support.
Very good. Mags, I'd like to bring you now in on the conversation perhaps, and would you tell us what did you see, or what struck you as a theme maybe at BET this year?
Well, I like what John said about the noise. I would advise anyone that's going to bring their earplugs with them. What I liked this year, Cliff, and what I've liked over the last 2 years is that the emphasis is switching from the big bells and whistles to technology to the teaching and how ICT can help, you know, motivate, engage the learner, support the teacher, which is my role in the Second Level Support Service. I mean, my role is to help teachers find stuff to engage, motivate, support students. And that's what I'm finding. I'm finding it's not very costly anymore to find little affordances that can help in the classroom, listen to people like Stephen Heppel talk about how ICT can help with inclusion. It's really, really about really sound teaching practice in the 21st century using ICT now.
Yes, and I think that's critical at this juncture in Irish education, especially where we might have a dearth of resources in the hardware front. We now have to think creatively about how we can use what we have. So, John, what sort of things did you see at BET that you think your listeners on this podcast would be interested in hearing about?
Well, this is my 11th year at BET, right? It's an annual pilgrimage, and as I say, like when you go over there, you kind of almost cry. You see, you know, how developed the whole education technology is over in England, and that's down to the resources and the funding that's been provided over the past 10 years compared to the situation we're at here. And I suppose, you know, looking at, you know, the technologies that they're talking about, they've moved beyond, you know, the computers and the hardware. It's more about, as Mag says, you know, how teachers can be creative with the technology. You know, they're talking about, you know, they've even moved beyond interactive whiteboards. They've gone past that. And now it's about, you know, virtual learning environments, you know, that that's, you know, how you can provide, you know, a web interface for every single child in your school. You provide information for parents through the school web, and all of the management of the child's learning is actually done through the web. And every school in the UK by next year has to have that sort of system in place. You know, yes. we're still talking about, you know, email and, you know, basic websites being set up for schools. So, you know, we've a long way to go.
In the absence of things like virtual learning environments, Mags, were there any things that you saw at BET that you think teachers could engage with here?
Well, yeah, I had a little shopping list that I'd love to have come home with. I loved the movable whiteboards, the Mimeos, the one that just literally cost a few hundred euro and you could move it from place to place with you, because I'm a moving teacher, I move from classroom to classroom.
Yes.
I just loved for, and I did buy for myself, a small tiny gadget called an I Got You. It was 60 quid. Now I can take it outside when I'm taking photographs on a field trip with my students, and we can GPS the photographs immediately into Google Earth, mark them out. I mean, small and very, very motivating, engaging pieces of equipment, very low cost. Another thing I loved, if I can go on a little bit
of
more,
Cliff,
was that I went to the TeachMeet session where teachers teach teachers. And you get a few minutes to just say what's working for you, what's working for you in your classroom. And I came home with so many ideas, from your own claymation to even free stuff from Microsoft, Cliff. A beautiful gadget called Zoomit, piece of download, and it turns your ordinary laptop into almost like an interactive whiteboard. Fabulous ideas.
Excellent. And Kevin, coming back to you, were there any things that you saw that you think teachers here would be particularly interested in?
I don't know if there were things that teachers might necessarily be very interested in. I was more interested in the more general perspective that John mentioned in terms of scale. And what I thought about that was the way in which there were services available to schools at every level, commercially. So you can buy whiteboards, you can buy software, you can hire someone to come in and manage the entire IT infrastructure of your school. They'll provide you with computers, they'll provide you with the VLE, they'll provide you with specially built desks and chairs that are designed to take. One of the things I found very interesting was the sort of peripherals that are available in the market there. There are, you know, large boxes which will hold 20 laptops, which will charge them all up, which you can wheel around from classroom to classroom, whip them out, have the children use the laptops, put them back in, they'll recharge and then you take them somewhere else. All of those kind of innovations that are designed to embed the technology really into the infrastructure of schools. So that was one interesting thing. Another interesting thing that I was very interested in, just on the subject of laptops, I saw a laptop that was available for 99 quid, had a 7-inch screen. There was one sitting beside it, and that didn't have Windows. There was one sitting beside it that did have Windows. So it's a fully functional laptop with an 8-inch screen for 200 quid. And so the thought I had was, well, if you take an average cohort of, say, 50,000 kids in the second level system, you know, if you spend 10 million a year over 5 years, you could have every kid in the second level system could have one of those laptops.
Indeed, and I felt myself that this year was the year where I noticed there was a rise in the netbooks. If any piece of technology has really come to the fore this year at BET, it definitely is the netbook. And now that Intel have developed the Atom processor, it has made these machines very cost-effective and very energy-efficient. I was particularly struck myself by a few of them that I saw. Intel have launched the Classmate PC, and they have a version called the Convertible, which folds down to actually become a tablet PC as well as a notebook. And they're costing in the region of £300 sterling, which is a great price. There's another one I saw called the Fizzbook, and that's even cheaper. It's only £270. And they can be bought. They're specifically designed now for primary school classrooms, those ones. Very rugged, very durable, with a flash hard drive. So a lot of bang for the buck there, I think. John?
We are getting closer and closer to the idea of one-to-one computing. I was at a Microsoft presentation, which is part of our alongside BET, and the Junior Minister for Education in Portugal spoke, and they've just purchased 500,000 netbooks for all of their students. So they're moving towards every student in their system having a computer, a netbook.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we have to think about in Ireland ourselves, because is it a better option than buying a laptop? to buy a netbook, do you think?
Well, I was struck by, you know, how powerful these things are. You know, yes. You have, you know, you have very long battery life.
That's
you
right.
Know, you have full web. Yes. Right, they're very easy to connect. They're all on wireless. Mm-hmm. They can plug into a projector. Right, yeah. They have USB ports. So almost all of the things that you expect in an ordinary laptop. The screen is a little bit smaller, but that suits the children that we're talking mm-hmm. about. The keyboard is a little bit smaller, but maybe it's more suited to their hands and fingers.
Indeed, so. I saw on the Microsoft stand they had one of the netbooks running Windows 7, the new version of Windows, which is due out in the summer. And he had that running, he had two Word documents open, and he also had Windows Media Player open, and it was only using half of the memory resources. So they are quite powerful machines.
Yeah. Max, I noticed that O2 had a big stand as well, and they were really pushing mobile computing and using your telephone, using your mobile phone. So we're getting closer and closer to that, you know, whether it's a telephone, a laptop, a netbook, they're indeed. All becoming almost the same device.
Yeah. Right. Mags, I'm going to ask you, was there anything, moving away from hardware perhaps, was there anything that struck you in terms of software or other resources that you thought would be good?
Well, the one I mentioned earlier on, the one I really, really am going to download and use myself, is the Zoomit on the Microsoft website, which literally gives a person who's working with a clapped-out old PC and with credit crunch, hasn't money for anything else, gives it a huge new affordance that they didn't have before in the classroom. So that's my bet. It's free. I can vote for it.
Yes, and there have been quite a number of products, actually. The list is endless. I myself saw a few items I thought were really good. I saw something from Microsoft.com. It's to do with literacy, and it's the Microsoft Digital Curriculum. And what we'll do with some of these things is we'll put together a list of websites that I think teachers might be interested in accessing, and we put them on the TeachNet blog, and you can come in there and you can see some of the things that our participants on the program today are recommending, and you can follow them up yourselves. John, you have a few items you wanted to mention.
Yeah, you were asking there about, like, what are the new trends. There was a lot of emphasis on online assessment this year, I thought, right? And one really cool product we saw was Smart Assess, and they're working with the Special Schools and Technologies Trust in the UK. And basically, it's a whole online assessment system, very easy to use, you know, gets rid of a lot of the drudgery around, you know, standardized tests and so on. But more importantly, provides a full reporting mechanism. And again, that's the trend. That's, you know, moving away from paper-based assessment, moving towards kind of interactive type assessment. You know, we saw a lot of maths product, you know, maths and numeracy. You know, there was a lot of information that, you know, things like, for example, we put up on the website on the 4th of March is going to be the World Maths Day. That's something that we want to get involved with from a TeachNet point of view. One of the things I'd say is, you know, wouldn't it be great if every teacher could get the chance to go over to Tibet and, you know, just get get your hands dirty in terms of, you know, these things and these ideas and so on.
Unfortunately, teachers TV cover BET, don't they? They do something on it, and teachers who may be able to access Teachers TV either on Sky or from their own computers at home should be able to have a look and find out what they have on BET.
Well, you mentioned the blog there, and that's something that we're going to put up some of that information.
Yes,
and actually, we were talking to Teachers TV over there as well, and there's certainly a lot of programs and a lot of content there that's very applicable to our schools.
Okay. Mags, have you anything else you'd like to say? What's your overall impression of BET?
I was catching into the end of your conversation there, and I think we in Ireland tend to take, you know, we listen to other teachers. So if John, if Kevin, if myself, if we put up on the blog what we thought was good over there, that's what I think teachers will be interested in and will follow up.
Absolutely. Kevin, have you anything you'd like to say finally, or your overall impressions of BET this year?
Yeah, I'd say two more things, just to follow on from what John said about convergence. I mean, I did talk to one crowd called Wild Knowledge, Wild Key, and they have a very interesting application for mobile phones where kids go out into the field on a nature walk, take pictures of trees, of insects. These things are sent back over the network and are on a database then in the teacher's computer, and there are sets of encyclopedic-like references that they can then match these against. It's a very interesting sort of application of the handheld device, getting out into the field, collecting data, bringing it back, and then wrapping a set of classroom activities around that. And so I thought that was an interesting model and one that might have value in a sort of a wider context. If in fact we do end up in a place where laptops continue to get smaller and telephones or mobile phones continue to get more powerful, you know, those kind of activities become much more viable. And the other thing that I thought that wasn't a big feature of BET but was starting to bubble up was the idea of social networking in education. We're all familiar with Facebook, Bebo, as a social outlet. But we're starting to see those social networking technologies gain a foothold in the education space. Interestingly, on the Stephen Heppel stand, there were a bunch of kids from a school using a social networking site to communicate with each other. And interestingly, again, relating to internet safety, there were all kinds of protocols built in so that they could only talk to people in a way that was monitored and managed, and the environment was closed off and kept safe. And so if I was to bet on, on something that is going to grow and become huge in education technology over the next 3 to 5 years, I'd say it's aspects of social networking.
Yes, I would agree with you there. And I think perhaps we might have a whole show dedicated to that theme at some point.
Yeah, funny enough, you mentioned internet safety there. That was a stronger theme this year in the show than I've seen in other years.
Yes.
And I must look into kind of why that is, you know, because, you know, it's always been there. I think we've always been very conscious of it. I thought other years, you know, there wasn't much about internet safety, but this year it struck me that there was more, you know, in terms of products and filters and so on. Mm. The other thing I'd say is that there is an opportunity. I suppose we all would come back and say, God, we're so far behind, and, you know, are we ever going to catch up? We keep saying there's an opportunity to leapfrog all the time. You know, they've tried and tested all of these things. They are still learning. The technology is still moving on. Things are still changing. You know, maybe someday, if the powers that be here get their act together, we could actually leapfrog and move forward.
Okay, well, I think that gives us a very good flavour of what BET was about this year. I'd like to thank Kevin, John and Mags for participating. And until the next time, goodbye.